and it's time for me to welcome my guest today. Now, have you ever thought of writing down your memoirs, your memories? Have you ever thought of putting them down on paper? For the benefit maybe of your family, your grandchildren, generations to come, maybe putting them in the records office if you've had a really interesting career. The records office is literally just up the road from here. And now Sheena Durness is my guest today. And well, hello Sheena, let's introduce you first. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Now, you hold sessions trying to encourage people to put down onto paper their memories. Why do you do that?
Yes. I feel it's important. I think we've, many of us, I mean, I'm 73 now, and I can say that I've lived during a very interesting period, born in the 1950s. I have participants on some of the courses I run who were born in the 1940s, and they have stories to tell. Us in the 50s have stories to tell, and so on. You know, we're seeing so many advancements. It's just a period of very, very high interest on how things are going forward. It'll be very different in another 50 years' time, I think.
I was just saying to you on the phone when we arranged this interview, Sheena, life has changed completely, really, isn't it, from the 50s until now? Because you're a baby boomer.
I'm a baby boomer.
Yeah, I'm a baby boomer as well. But you think about it, we used to bath in front of the fire. Can you remember that sort of thing? Do you ever do that sort of thing in your family? That was quite normal. I can remember when you had a new bath fitted in the bathroom.
Yes,
because
yes,
you had to
yes.
heat the water with a gas geyser.
Yes, yes.
And you think about all the changes. Yes. And my dad, I was saying to you on the phone, can remember when they had gas lights in his house. Mm-hmm. And he used to have to go down to the local garage to get the battery charged for the radio set. Okay. And now we've got the internet and the social media and all that sort of thing.
And light switches. Switch on, the room comes up.
Yeah. Things have changed completely, haven't they?
Yes, very
much. I mean, there are
so.
Still some people, youngsters, don't think we went to the moon because we didn't have the technology and all that sort of thing, didn't they? So what sort of memories have people come up with? Give us some examples, if you can.
pardon me. Schooling has been one. Interesting how people talk about the three R's, you know, the reading, writing, arithmetic, not arithmetic, but arithmetic. And when quite a number of people, when they went to school, it was just those basics. Now, school, you can do chemistry, you can do different types of chemistry, different types of maths, and it's just a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, my
son
did three separate science subjects.
Three separate science subjects, and so it's very different.
And, of course, information technology.
Yes,
and,
yes, of course.
And all that sort of
computer
thing.
Studies.
Computer programming, you know, computers. I remember my school had a computer, and you dialed the numbers on a telephone dial to program it. That's how primitive it was.
Right, are you older than me?
No, I'm not. No. 3 years younger. So do your own maths, people out there. So how do you go about encouraging people to do this? And you've got some sessions coming up, haven't you, at the Dorford Centre in Dorchester?
I generally run a 10 sessions, fortnightly sessions, with a little gap in the middle. And those are designed to introduce different aspects. So first of all, I introduce family. I said, right, can you remember where you lived? Who were the significant people in your life? If they've passed over, have you got nice memories of them? I do talk about family trees as well, but mostly basic, how to set up a family tree. And I kind of encourage snippets of memories. You know, can you remember what your house was like? Can you walk through your house? Can you remember where you sat, where your parents sat, what the kitchen was like? Did it have a kitchen cabinet? Did it have a scullery? All those things that was in the older houses. And that sets off triggers. I use triggers, basically.
I remember we had a safe Before fridges, they were safes, weren't they? That were put in a sheltered spot outside with some mesh on the front.
You have cold milk.
That's it, your milk and your butter and all that sort of thing. Yeah. If you said what's a safe these days, they'd think it was something to keep your money in, wouldn't they?
And a larder. Used to have a larder in the house.
Right. Yes. Everybody had a sort of cupboard.
Yeah. A marble worktop that kept everything cool.
For the cheeses and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Wow.
Very different.
We could go on for hours like this.
Well, that's what happens in the sessions.
Yeah. Well, my gran had a larder and she had the marble worktop and all that. I can remember that vividly. Mm. And twin tub washing machines, you know. Wash day, you couldn't just chuck it in the washing machine and press a button, could you?
No. Mm. I remember me when I was first married, getting a washing machine. Actually, it was a wedding present. Twin tub. But oh my goodness me, what a messing around. You know, now we just pop our washing in the washing machine, press a button and walk off.
Yeah, you had to have those wooden tongs, didn't you?
Yes.
To move it from one to the other.
It wasn't simple.
And I used to wind the mangle for my nan.
Oh,
do you remember those things?
Yes, my grandmother had a mangle. Yes, I remember that, yes.
Now anyone under a certain age is going to say, what on earth are they talking about? Yeah, a copper. Yeah, we had a copper. Yeah, in our bathroom. Yeah.
No, I think it's those things are called vintage now. They're probably valuable, actually. If somebody put a copper onto the Antiques Roadshow, it probably be worth money. But, very different.
You said to me on the phone that a lot of people put together, and it's very fashionable, they do a DNA sample and they put together their family tree, etc. But we know nothing about these people. They're just names on a piece of paper.
Names.
On a chart.
And that's the whole impetus behind running the courses and the sessions. You don't want to just be a name on a family tree. Nice though it is, and checking your family's past, that's great. But who are you? And I say to people, who are you? What have you done in your life? What was your career? You know, what events have you been at? Have you travelled? And I ask all those questions, but I do it in sessions. So it's gently, pulling out snippet triggers to pull out snippets of memory, and then people start writing it down. I have difficulty getting people to stop writing.
You're the light bulb that gets this kicked off, really, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you're literally the light bulb that kicks all this off. I bet people out there are thinking, wow, I didn't think of this. And it's so important, because when people pass on, all this is gone, isn't it?
It's gone.
Now, you're an author yourself.
Thank you.
Some people might not like writing particularly, might not have done it in the past, but they say there's a story in everyone, don't they? A book in everyone.
Yes,
would you say that's
true? I believe there is a story. And I think with the memoir courses have proved that, because I say, look, many of us, everything we've done is a story. It is a story. It's an event. It's a story. It's a lovely memory. And you write it down, and as you're writing it down, it feels like a story. You don't have to add arms and legs, fictionalise it. Just write it down. You've created a story to put into a section of your memoirs. At the end of it, you're going to have a very large file or a very large book, but you've created something. And your real life, what you do, how you are, what you are.
We're talking about real people here, aren't we?
Yes.
Not personalities, celebrities, not politicians, you know. We're talking about everyday people.
Everyday people.
We've all got a story to tell.
And to pass that on to future generations, to great-grandchildren. One of my grandchildren is 8, and she did say to me, Grandma, I said, I write about people's, you know, I have people write about their lives, and I said, I've written about you, I said, because I write about grandchildren as well. And then she sort of went off playing, came back, and she said, what have you written about me, Grandma? So I sort of said one or two things to her, and then she told her sister, and every time I see that child now, she says, are you still writing about me, Grandma?
She will
grow up with a copy of the book that I produce, because I'll probably put it into a book.
And you can't put a price on that, can you?
You can't put a price on that.
Yeah. Let's concentrate on this session that's going to take place on the 22nd. So that's a week tomorrow, isn't it?
A week tomorrow.
Yeah. The Dorford Centre.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, and what can people expect on that one-off session?
Some hard work, I'm sorry to say. because I'm going to be cramming quite a bit in. But essentially, I'm going to be focusing on quite a variety of areas, but getting people to write, just to write jottings on various things, little memories as they come, but then separate pages for different things. So we'll be looking at everything from how they may have coped with illnesses, or how, where they've travelled to, or how they, you know, how they dress now in comparison to years ago, to all sorts of things, really. Mm. They're creating a history of their time on Earth.
So yes, you're sort of planting little seeds in their brains, aren't they? Yes. And they do the rest.
Yeah. They do the rest, it works.
So how long have you been doing this sort of thing?
Only a couple of years. Well, I've been doing it for myself longer, but only a couple of years. I suppose it's 3 years now. And it kicked off, I have a friend who has published memoirs of her life in Ireland, and her and I were going to work together and put a course together. And we started to do that, and then she ended up moving. So she's up nearer London now in Sussex. So that was the end of that. So it lay in abeyance, and then I said to her, would you mind if I went ahead and did it? And she didn't mind, so I've been sort of setting up courses ever since.
Well, I bet today you've given people food for thought, really. And I bet a lot of people, maybe even if they don't attend your sessions, maybe they'll go away and think, I'll keep a diary, I'll write some of this down. Yeah. So you've achieved your goal there, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. Well, it's funny, a lot of people do write diaries, and I did used to, and I had years of diaries. And funnily enough, when I wrote about my childhood memories, that was separate, but I then decided to extend it and write more about my life. And I went to the diaries and found that my diaries were full of work-related appointments.
I can't cut you short because the news is coming up, right. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
We're running out of time.
That's all right.
Now, if people want to find out more, where can they do that just before the news comes on?
They can actually... Should I give a telephone number, email? There isn't my email, is on there.
Email is probably the easiest thing.
It is easiest.
Yeah, just give us an email and we'll put it on our website for you.
Right. Sheena Dearness, I think it is written on there, 51@gmail.com.
It's so lovely to talk to you today. And you're an author as well. Will you come in again?
I might do.
I'd love you to come into the studio again.
Yeah. Yes,
thank you very much. It's lovely to meet you today,
Well, it
Sheena.
Was nice of you to ask me to do it.